to Spain. You put a woman back against the wall. Do it on my own, do it on my own. What you think she gonna do? Do it on my own. I know what I'ma do.
Do it on my own, do it on my own. Do it on my own, do it on my own.
Do it on my own. No, I don't need you.
Do it, but I don't want you.
But I want you.
Hey girlfriends, welcome to episode 3 of Mommy and Wild Black, the podcast where we talk about self-worth, relationships, health, spirituality, and the butterfly effects of all of these. Thank you so much for tuning in. First things first, I want to shout out every single person that has listened to this podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the trailer. Thank you for giving me love on episode 1, episode 2. I know episode 2 was crazy long. I know that. I'm learning. That's all. That's it. I am learning as I go. If I get into my head and I get into my own thoughts, you know, you get into that analysis paralysis where you don't do anything or you're being a perfectionist so much that you don't put anything out. And so I am going to learn as I go, and hopefully you'll be on the ride with me. And you'll also share your feedback. I'm looking for feedback, good, positive, and different, that will help me grow. I will become better. The topics are going to get, it's going to be a broad range of topics we're going to discuss on here. So I'm like super, super, super excited for a segment that is like near and dear to my heart. And I cannot wait to see like the final product. It's going to be hella dope. So again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for vibing with me. So this episode is going to talk about a topic that a lot of women experience. A lot of women go through these situations. I don't think that it's necessarily something that only Black mothers experience. I think, however, Black mothers experience it the most. And that's just by the way we are, by design. Our experiences, even if we were going back to slavery, Black women have always been the glue that keeps families together. Black mamas are essential. Black mothers are natural healers. Black mothers show up. Black mothers are always at the front line. We get it done. We oftentimes don't stop to even do anything for ourselves, or even, no one even really asks us if we're okay. No one checks on us, you know, in that regard, frequently enough. We assume that you got it together and you have to have it together, right? Because we have to have it together. And I have learned a lot in this process. I have several sisters, and somewhere along the way, I never would ask, like, hey, are you okay? I mean, if I saw you crying or anything like that, of course you're going to ask if they're okay. But after having my son, it is important to ask, are you okay? And social media have you thinking that everything is good. Everything is Gucci, right? Because you see all the pictures of the babies, you see them laughing and smiling, you see all these different things, and social media will have you thinking that everything is good over there. And and oftentimes it's not. We mask it well. Women, I think Black women, like I said, myself, I struggle to say I need help. And I need to, you know what? Pause right here. I struggle to say I need help. No. I need to change my words. If I say I'm struggling to say I need help, I will struggle to say I need help. So we're going to change up the language right now. I'm at a crossroads, right? From episode 1, I said that I am going to be more vocal about that, saying that I need help, asking for help. So I'm at a crossroads trying to ease into that struggle. I retract that word. So the topic today is mommy's guilt. mommy's guilt. You may not have heard of it. Maybe you have. Most people, I think, have experienced it. Even if you didn't know the exact terminology to use, you've probably definitely experienced this. And you might be wondering, what is mom's guilt? What is mommy's guilt? The way I would describe mommy's guilt is it's this feeling, it's this overwhelming feeling that takes over you. Sometimes for some individuals, it can almost be paralyzing, that feeling that you are losing control, that you are not doing a fantastic job or even a subpar job of juggling all of the responsibilities that you have. And not only are things, you know, are you dropping balls, but the person that's impacted the most is the child or the children. And that's where that mommy's guilt comes in. I'm spending too much time at work, so I'm not spending enough time with my child. I'm spending too much time cleaning the house, showing up in all these different areas for all of these different peoples. You're being pulled in multiple directions. And I am not spending enough time with my child. Someone else is raising my child, right? My child is with a grandmother. My child is with my sister. My child, just various different places. And those are the feelings that you feel when you are experiencing mommy's guilt. So you might be wondering, how do you know whether you're experiencing mommy's guilt? I think it varies for different individuals. I also believe that people can trigger the mommy's guilt. Situations can present itself that make you question whether you are an adequate mother, whether you are an adequate provider, whether you are doing your child a disservice. And that can weigh pretty heavy on you. It's pretty daunting. And one of the, and I'm going to speak for me, this is my truth. This is my truth. One of the ways that mommy's guilt manifests itself in my life is through my child's father. He will inevitably, when I drop our son off to him, and then I have to mentally prepare myself because he is going to come back, and he can't just drop him off. He's going to come back and he's going to say, you know, hey, I noticed this or I noticed that. And it would be fine if it was just a, you know, hey, I just wanted to, you know, hey, did you notice that he does this, this, and this? But it's the way he positions it. And it's like, you know, oh, he's watching, like he saw this movie and he's watching a movie. He knows all the words to it. So a couple things about my little Bambino. One, my little Bambino has a almost photographic memory to me. I have a sister who has a photographic memory. And when he was born, he passed his hearing test. And then in 2019, I started noticing, I want to say even in 2018, I started noticing he was just really looking at our mouths or my mouth when I would talk. And I just assumed that he was born in 2017. I just assumed that babies, they watch your mouth. They're looking at your mouth, what you're saying, and that they're trying to process all of that. And this is where language comes from. And so fast forward, 2019 comes and my child he does a lot of gibberish talking, but not anything discernible. And I wasn't particularly alarmed because I did not start talking until I was over 2 years old. My first word was cookie. And shout out to my grandfather who showed up every night to make sure that the only way I was going to get a cookie was if I said it. It wasn't discernible. And so I took him to get a hearing test. And this was after my child's father and I and some of his family members, we went to a dinner. One of his cousins showed up. She's got three boys. And she was having a conversation with one of his aunts. And they were talking about how her youngest child was not very verbal. And it had something to do with his hearing. So my child's father and I, we had a discussion and thought, hey, let's go get him tested, see what's going on. If it's anything, right? Rather, you know, better to be safe than sorry. Get him tested. Sure enough, failed the test. They did. I had the guy test again. I think I might have had him test him again two or three times. And that's after the initial test. And he kept saying he couldn't hear. He was like, he had over 50% hearing loss in one ear and almost 50% in the other. And hearing that, I did not cry in the office, but it definitely did something to me. I say all that to say this, that my child went through surgery by God's grace and mercy. My child passed his hearing test after continuing to fail after the surgery, passed his hearing test July 15th last year. And words are just coming. He can say his alphabets A to Z, Z to A. Like, he'd get pulled over by the police and he would kill a sobriety test. He can do it all. And I'm just so amazed by his progression. I'm just so amazed. I'm so thankful. I'm so pleased. And the pandemic, of course, came along. And my child had been in school. So the way that it worked was I would drop him off at school. I'd go run to work and go to all of my appointments, do all of that, pick him up, read with him, give him his bath, give him food, all these kind of things. But I was leaving, dropping him off at school, and I would drop him off right before 9 o'clock, which is going to be another segment. I honestly think the schools are too long, the school day for young children, especially his age. So I would drop him off about 9, but when I get back to the school to pick him up, it was like 6:30. So it's evening time. So my time is limited with my baby. So fast forward, after, you know, the pandemic hit, my child is with me a lot at home, and that was an adjustment. I'm home, he's home. I'm not a teacher, you know, not elementary or preschool or Head Start, anything like that. So now I've got to figure it out. You know, I mean, we have books. He has like a little library in his room, but to like sit down and teach and, you know, I have to figure it out. And I also have to work. I have a full-time job. I have a very demanding job. And I also have a business where I tutor students. So I have all these different things that are going on. And whenever my child's father tells me something about our son watching TV, it's a trigger. To be honest, it's a trigger. And I'm like, I stop because I don't want to say anything, because at this point, I feel like anything that I say is going to come off as, he's going to look at it as it's negative. I'm being defensive. However, my child lives with me. Our child lives with me 100%. And so I am doing what I believe the best that I can do with the situation, the way that it is. I am working full time. I have a demanding job. I also have a child who's in speech therapy, 5 days out of the week. I have a business on the side. I also have to cook. I have to clean. I've got to wash clothes. I've got to spend time with my child. I've got to spend time with him and give him the attention that he needs. And that said, I feel that I am doing the best that I can do. But when he says that, I begin to self-assess and I'm like, okay, what can I do differently? What can I do this? What can I do that? And I honestly believe that I am, like, when God reveals something to me, a different way to do it, then I'm going to shift. I'm going to pivot and I'm going to do it that way. But in this moment right now, I am making the best decision that I can make for our son in that moment in order to get the things done that need to get done. And therein comes the mommy guilt. Maybe I can shift my work schedule, which I can't. It's very demanding. I'm already, thankfully, I have a job where I'm in a position where I can take my child to speech therapy every day. I don't have to go and clock out at an office and then turn around and come back to where I need to be. I can just go take him to speech therapy, work while I'm there, and come back. But the mommy guilt aspect, it is a real thing for me. It's that, and you just internalize the guilt. You know, how can I be more productive? Could I be fixing something else? You start quite like things like, you know, okay, well, he wants goldfish for a snack. You know, he's been standing here next to me and he's like, hey, you know, Ami, Ami, Ami. He calls me Ami, not mommy, which I love. He's like, Ami, Ami, Ami. And I'm like, 1 second, baby, 1 second. Give mommy 1 second. Let me finish this. Give me 1 second. And you mute the phone and then he goes and gets goldfish. It's just like, okay, well, I'll go in the pantry and I'll figure it out. And he goes and he gets himself goldfish. And then you start wondering, like, you know, I could have gotten up. I could have gotten an apple. What could I have done this? Should I already dice up the apples? But you cut the apple and then it's brown. And the brown probably only matters to me. However, I believe that that our child would also feel a way about that, because I only have one child, but my child would sit in the high chair and eat Cheerios, and the deformed Cheerios, that's the Cheerio that's not a complete circle. He would just take the Cheerio and drop it off the side of the high chair, and it would be all the ugly Cheerios on the ground, and all of the perfect Cheerios obviously are in his stomach. So he might actually look at that brown apple and be like, nah, that's not right. I'm not about to eat this. So it's things, and you mommy guilt, mommy's guilt. You feel like you're not making the best choices. Maybe you are not being the master juggler, not making sure that you are giving your child the attention that they need. Sometimes mommy guilt can manifest itself in the form of, especially if you just had a baby, wanting to breastfeed your child, but not producing enough milk, not eating enough. So because you're not eating enough, or you're not eating the right things in your diet, your milk supply is low. So your child is losing weight. Your child's not gaining weight. Your child's irritable. Now you can't get any sleep, and now you're irritable. And then when you have to give your child formula, you feel guilty because how can I not produce milk? How can I not produce milk? And the idea that human beings ingest milk from other animals instead of just the milk that you get from your mother is its own thing. It's its own thing to me. But that's, you know, that's another way that you can experience mommy's guilt. I think one of the biggest pieces of mommy's guilt is the comparison piece, where usually someone close to you will make a comment and they may not mean anything by it, and they will say something that such and such does this, or such and such is able to get this done, or you're on social media and you see this person who's doing all of these different things and they're posting about it. And they have multiple children, like you just have one, multiple children, and they're getting it done. And you compare yourself. You allow that other person to get in your head and have you thinking that you're inadequate, that you can't juggle it. What's the woman's job to clean the house? It's the woman's job to cook. It's the woman's job to fold the clothes, make sure everything's happened, and still take care of the child and also work. And you have a man who says, you know, you don't have to work, or or I'm never going to tell you to go to work, but doesn't tell, you know, whether they tell you you don't have to work or they tell you, I'm never going to tell you you have to go to work. A real woman, teammate, if you're not well off, she's going to get a job. And juggling all of those different things and coming back and saying, well, this person did this, it just makes you feel inadequate. Social media will have you comparing your life and to someone else's, a complete stranger's, and have you thinking, you know, how are they able to do this? But what people don't disclose to you is they've got family members, they've got friends that they can rely on, they've got neighbors, they can pay for nannies. They drop their kids off. Their kids might be with them 2 days out of the week, and that's the only, and they're posting content, changing outfits multiple times. Just various different things. And you are comparing yourself to that, and you have to run in your own lane. And I have to constantly tell myself that I will not allow anybody to make me feel inferior about mothering, about the way that I mommy with my child. I will not allow time to control me. I am learning to pray and ask God for direction. What do I need to do? You have to have a good tribe around you. And these are the solutions that I think are the things that I've arrived to, right? Keeping a track. When do I feel mommy's guilt? Why do I feel mommy's guilt, right? So looking at the ABCs, you know, what was the action? What action triggered the feeling of mommy's guilt, right? And then when I felt that feeling, what was my behavior? How did I respond to that action, that stated event? What was my behavior? How did I respond to that? And then see what's the consequence of that. What, because that event happened and then I responded to it behaviorally in this manner, what's the consequence of that? And looking at the ABCs, seeing what that looks like, and then giving yourself a hard, you know, not giving yourself a pass, having a hard conversation. Is this true? The consequence, is this true? Is this, what does someone say? You're a bad mother. What's the action? I'm a bad mother. What's the behavior? I get upset. I cry. I'm feeling, you know, down. I'm depressed. I don't want to get out of the bed. I don't want to do anything. What's the consequence of that? My child is getting the shit into the stick. And no, I'm not doing that. But I'm giving an example. Your child's getting the terrible end of the stick. And are you a bad mother? Are you like, and really like question that. And I like to think that we are not designed that way. We are not inherently bad mothers. We are warriors. We are nurturers. We are the bearers of life. We bring light into this world. We carry the God spark in us. We are amazing. We are amazing. We are versatile. Our bodies are elastic. We are flexible. We can pivot. We do this shit. We do this shit and we are nimble as fuck. And so I believe that. I believe that about us. I believe that about Black mothers. So that said, I think that piece of keeping that journal, or even just a quick, you know, journal entry in your mind, the ABC of that, and then know your truth. I have to know my truth. What is my truth? What is my, what does that look like? What does that look like? And a part of that too is recognizing that, you know, a piece of that might be a thing of being easily offended. And then that's something, of course, that I would go to God about and pray about to be removed. But just knowing my truth, looking at the day, 24 hours in a day, what was done, what was this, what was that. And a lot of times for me, what it looks like is I have my laptop up working, Bam is on his iPad, and I'm sitting there with our son going through his stuff, going through his phonics, going through his numbers, his alphabet. And I'm learning that everything can be educational. Like when it's time for him to take a bath, drilling him on his alphabets, drilling him on his colors, taking the time, and it doesn't stop. But I also look at it, I also don't want him to be in a space where he hates school. You do it all the time and then you hate it. I don't want that to be that either, but having a real honest conversation, a hard look at myself and seeing what that looks like. And thankfully I have a tribe. I have a tribe of mothers that mommy are badasses at mommy. Their children are older than mine. I'm the youngest. And in terms of my child is the youngest. And it's refreshing to be able to hear their perspectives, to see what worked for them, what did not work for them, having real, raw, honest conversations. I'm super thankful. I'm super thankful. And that's the important piece. And you're not looking for a yes man, right? You're not looking for, your tribe can't be the yes person is going to tell you, you know, exactly what you want to hear, because you are never going to reach your purpose. You'll never be your full potential at mommying if you always have some people in your circle that are always going to cheer you on, that are never going to call you out, that are never going to say that you're doing something wrong or you could be doing it something differently. Those are not the people. It would be a travesty to raise your child as an adult, be at that moment where you're in your final, you know, stage of life, taking, getting ready to take your last breath, and not having mommy to your fullest potential, saying, I wish I could go back and do something differently. Like, so you need people to call you on your stuff. You need that mirror reflection looking back at you. I think also it's important for me to stop. There was a time when my child, like I said, was not verbal or discernible. I could not discern what he was saying. And now, Ami, need help? I need help. I want more water. Stopping and acknowledging. You can get caught up in sending an email, doing this stuff, and you hear your child, and you're not trying to ignore your child. You're also not trying to lose your train of thought right here in this moment. And if I just had 1 minute, and it's stop. This is not my job. This is not my business. This is for somebody else. My son is only going to be this young right now in this moment. 2 seconds from now, he's older. I'm never going to get that second back. I'm never going to get that minute back. So I am making a concerted effort to embrace all of that, to embrace the stopping, to embrace the pauses, to embrace. And honestly, my son isn't in my face all the time. He's not always asking me anything. So at the times when he comes, I probably need that break. I probably need to walk away. I need that mental step away. I wear glasses. I should stop and take my eyes off of the computer so that I can give him my attention. And that gives me a mental break. I probably would work better. I would probably be more strategic, spot better deals. If I just took a pause, broke away, and having him, he is that breakaway for me. And a great breakaway. Like, look, his face, his smile, his presence, his confidence, his aura, he's so considerate, all of these things. Like, this is a pleasant breakaway. This isn't a breakaway for some drama, like somebody's like, you know, pissing you off. Like, this is love. This is love. This is love looking back at me. It's perspective shift. It was this perspective shift. And so that piece. And then the other thing is have wise counsel. You need wise counsel around you. You need it. You need wise counsel. And wise counsel does not have to be someone or some persons who have children. And honestly, In some regards, it might actually be good that they don't, if they don't, because they can see things differently. I believe once I had my son, everything shifted. Everything shifted. I don't believe at all that I know that that person existed, but that I will ever be the person I was before him. If I saw her, I don't know that even that I would recognize her. That maybe my spirit will recognize her as a familiar spirit, but you're just different. You evolve, you grow, you're challenged, and it's just an amazing thing. Motherhood is amazing. The highs, the lows, the cries, the laughs, just, it's amazing. It's amazing. There is no other feeling I can think of that feels the way it is to be a mother, to know that God thought so highly of me to entrust me with someone else, good, bad, or indifferent, regardless of how, you know, whatever it might be, the co-parenting relationship and everything, butterfly effect coming. I would not go back and change anything. If I were to change any detail, any trigger, any happy moment, any sad moment, just anything, I would not have my little bambino. I might have a child, just a different child. And so embrace it all. I embrace it all. And so that being said, like, mommy's guilt is a real thing. It's a real, real thing. And I found myself feeling parts of that this over the weekend. But come Sunday, thank God for new days, for favor, for grace, for mercy, for restoration, for refreshing, revitalization, just revelations, all of that. Sunday, your girl did no work, took Bambino to the park, spent all that time out there with him, blowing bubbles, going down slides, just everything, at just enjoying it, leaning all the way in, getting food, stopping and seeing Shipley's donuts. Ami, look, you want donuts? And turning around, getting donuts 7 o'clock at night, like just enjoying it, seeing his face light up, just being present. And so mommy's guilt will come. It will come. But stop it in its tracks. Don't let it take over. Don't let it paralyze you. And be honest with yourself. And then do what we do. What Black mommies do. We mommy. So affirmations for this week. I am an amazing mother. I am an amazing mother. I'm a badass at mommying. I release all forms of mommy's guilt. I release anything that no longer serves me. I release any person that no longer serves me. I release all mindsets that no longer serve me. I unfollow social media pages that no longer serve me. I am a strong mother. I am strong. I am resilient. The blood running through my veins has the strength of every ancestral goddess that came before me. The mothers in my family were and are warriors. My child is amazing. God has gifted me a child. God has loved me so much that he gave me you. God gave me the wisdom to handle it all with grace and peace. Lord, show me where my time management needs improvement and give me the blueprint to make it better. Give me the strength to make it better. Let me not be so selfish. Let me not be so proud, so haughty to not recognize where those areas of improvement could be. I will master my time. I will master my time. This week, I will master my time. Time will not master me. I am not a slave to time. I will master my time. I release mommy's guilt and replace it with mommy's vibe. I replace it with mommy vibes, overflowing with love, compassion, abundance, joy, spent uninterrupted with my child. All is well. This is the affirmation for the week. I challenge all of you, if you are experiencing mommy guilt, to let it go. It's okay. It's normal. Let it go. Let it go. Find a tribe. Write it down. Whatever it is you need to do. I would love to hear your stories. If you have experienced mommy guilt, what tips do you have? What works for you? What didn't work for you? I'm open to hear that. You can reach me on Instagram at mommyingwhileblk, or you can shoot over an email, momgoals@mommyingwhileblack.com. Thank you so much, girlfriends, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please, please, please give me feedback, share, repost. I look forward to talking with you. See you again next week.